Hi, this is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. Today we're talking to John Kennedy. He's the newly elected controller of the Suffolk County, and we're talking about the importance of the position. To most of us, it's an obscure position, but John was giving us some insights on why it's so important and how it can affect our lives. John, when you go into your job, is there anything radical that's going to be, radical change that you'd like to see?
Well,
not necessarily radical, but change.
Yeah, I've been talking with folks. There will be some new executive staff that are coming on board. I feel very strongly that I need somebody in there with me who is a CPA. And who's comfortable with municipal finance and has got a strong backing there. I also want somebody who's got some knowledge and expertise and background interacting with the rating agencies, the bond markets. And I also want somebody who's got some depth in municipal contracting as well. I think those three concepts help to build a good team. And, it is, for me personally, a shift. I've enjoyed a great opportunity in the legislature, but now as a countywide, I understand that I'm part of the overall umbrella of governance. But I'll give you the biggest change, Ernie. The voters decided they want to see a merge. So although I campaigned against it, I will be orchestrating the merger of operations between the comptroller and the treasurer's office.
Now, this is the office that's presently with Angie Carpenter.
Yes, a dear friend.
And she contends that separation is essential and useful.
As did I, Ernie. As did I.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I mean, there is a way for us to go ahead and look at some collaborations. Look, already we've been talking about the sales tax forecasting that's done, a component of which comes out of the treasurer's office with the actual receipt of sales tax revenues. Any anticipation, and then with staff that we have in the comptroller as well for projecting a revenue schedule for the upcoming operating year.
That's kind of difficult, isn't it?
Well, you know, listen, there are fixed assets and fixed revenue streams that we look at based on what's occurred the year before. Sales tax is fairly predictable. I did take issue with what was projected for 2015 in that it is at 4.875% as far as increase goes. Look, I hope we realize that, Ernie, because that means that our economy here on a local level is like a house on fire. And I'd like to see nothing more than that.
But you thought it was a little bit too optimistic.
I did. You know, I think that, you know, one of the things that's critical for us here in government is to go ahead and be conservative. It is a much better place to be at the end of the year with a surplus from sales tax revenue than a deficit.
John, do you find that you use the term conservative? A conservative is a very valid point of view if you're talking about being a fiscal conservative.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, when I'm utilizing the term, that's what I'm talking about as far as approach goes. Expenditure of taxpayers' money always has to be done in a conservative fashion.
Right.
It's their money, not ours. And so every time we approach, we have to make very sure that we're not...
But aren't we as a group I'm not in your group, but I mean, legislators are in this county tend to be conservative in that regard, don't they?
I don't know, Ernie. I mean, we're an eclectic group. There's 18 of us.
Yeah.
Some of us seem to be a little bit more willing to, I guess... embrace rosy and optimistic projections, and then some of us have lived through 10 years, 8 of which have been hard times, Ernie.
I once presented to Paul Townsend the idea that the economics of government should operate like a flywheel. In other words, when you're having a good year, accumulate money.
No doubt. Yes.
And then when you're having a bad year, spend it.
Well, that goes to the concept of reserves. And we do have reserve funds. And, you know, as the economy started to really sputter, struggle, and then spiral back in 2007, 2008, and 2009, fortunately, we did have some reserve funds there that we were able to apply against our pension requirements and things like
enough,
that.
Was it enough, was it?
No. No, it wasn't.
So the idea is my concept would be trying to find that balance point where you're stuffing enough money into the reserves.
Right.
And then drawing them down as long as you needed to.
You know, Bill Lindsay was a real proponent of that. He was the longest presiding officer that I served under. And, you know, I...
He was a well-beloved guy.
All of us miss him dearly. Yeah. He was a great public servant. And as you know, like my father, he was a business manager for Local 25.
Uh-huh.
So I said to many people that I knew him before I even knew him.
Yeah.
But no, Billy had everybody's best interests at heart, and he always tried to keep an eye on trying to do something in the way of the reserves when it came to adopting an operating budget for the, you know, subsequent year.
Is that concept in government, you know, pretty universal, or is it just...
Well, represents a certain sense of discipline. You know, remember, no constituent group comes out and, you know, gives you accolades for establishing a reserve. They want to see, you know, funding for, you know, parks and for, you know, canoes and for regattas and for those types of things. But as an elected, you know, you get elected to go ahead and do the full range of duties and responsibilities. So you do need to have the backbone, as they say, to say, you know, we got to put some away. We got to put some away.
I think that's tough. I think that's hard to do.
Yep.
I think, you know, I find that even running my stupid little organization in Limba, you know, I find people putting pressure on me to do this and to do that. And I don't like telling them no.
Somebody's got to say no, Ernie. And
but
you know
you
what? Of course you do. And as a matter of fact, to your credit, that's why Limba continues to be the vibrant organization that it is. Because there's somebody with a firm hand at the helm saying yes to some and no to others.
And, you know, and there are things, there are decisions that you can make that really don't have big consequences.
And you
tend to let those fly.
Right.
You know, because if it's a little bit of a punch in the budget, it's not a big punch in the budget because you got something else carrying the weight, you know. And you know, I try to do in those terms, you know.
Well, Ernie, listen, you have great members. Marie Zaire, as a matter of fact, I know who the Zaire family is a member. They've asked, I believe I'm going to be out with you in February. They invited me to come out. And you get...
yes, we do have you on the schedule.
Consummate names. You get the real movers and shakers here in Suffolk County that want to come out and speak to Limba because they know that's the organization that, you know, kind of has its finger on the pulse of Suffolk County.
Well, we take a lot of pride in the... And you know, John, I know this isn't about me today, but I'll tell you this.
Sure.
When I put somebody up in the front of the room... I give them a hearing, and that's what I do, and whatever their politics are, they get to be heard. And if someone in the audience wants to ask them a very pointed question, I let them.
Good.
Because
good.
That's what they're there for.
Absolutely.
And the only thing I don't allow is badgering.
Which is good. There is a difference. There is absolutely a difference.
You know, you want to just attack.
Right.
That's not fair. It's you know, it's the speaker is at a disadvantage.
Sure.
And what I want them to do is ask the hard questions.
That's right.
Make the speaker answer those questions. And if he looks bad, it's because he doesn't have the right answers.
Well, or he's unprepared, as they say in this business. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen.
You know who said that the first time, you know? Harry. Harry Truman.
There you go. There you go. Not a bad man to emulate, right?
No, he's not. I just remember something that he said when President Eisenhower was coming to the White House to take over the White House. And he says, poor Ike. He says, a military man. He says, wait till he tells somebody what to do and they don't pay any attention to him.
That does happen. That does happen. That does happen. Absolutely.
It does happen. And, you know, that's part of the frustrations of being in a place like you're enjoying Well,
I'm looking forward to the opportunity, Ernie. I really am, and I'll tell you, I think there's a lot of good things that we'll be able to do in the office. As I've said, I have over 20 people on my transition team. Great, great folks. Angie Carpenter is with me. John Cochran. My dear past boss, Bob Gaffney, has agreed to come out and serve.
Good.
Yeah. You know, I've been a firm believer of getting the best and the brightest and soliciting advice and taking advice.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you today. This is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking, and we're talking to John Kennedy. He's the newly elected controller of the Suffolk County, and he is still presently a legislator to be dealt with.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we're going to be there picking up the phones right through December 31st.
Thanks for listening. This is Long Island News Radio 103.9 FM.